Northern Ireland Secretary Karen Bradley has confirmed fresh talks will begin on the 7th of May to restore devolution. We've been without a devolved government, of course, since January 2017. And since then, several rounds of talks aimed at restoring the Assembly have failed. There's now been this joint statement by the Prime Minister, Theresa May, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. They say the aim of the talks is quickly to re-establish a full cooperation in the democratic institutions of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. So is there any chance? Where's it all sitting at the moment? Let's ask the political commentators Alison Morris and Ben Lawrie, both journalists, obviously, for the respective newspapers, the Irish News, the Newsletter. Ben and Alison, morning. Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Morning, 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 Alison. Ben, let's start with you. How much of a chance do these talks have?
Well, there's no question that the murder of Lyra McKee and what happened at the service last week and all of that has changed the mood. And there's a real impetus for these talks, and the government's want to be seen to do something, and the DUP and Sinn Féin want to be seen to do something, and the other parties are saying they always wanted to be seen to be doing something anyway. Whether or not there's a deal out of it, the old obstacles, I would say, seem to be remain. And there was an interesting comment. There were interesting comments from the Sinn Féin president, Mary Lou McDonald, yesterday after a meeting of her party's negotiating team. In other words, that seems to be internal preparation from Sinn Féin for the talks. On the one hand, clearly, as part of a new mood, she's emphasising that they want to that they'll be they're ready to engage and energetically and positively. But then she's saying things like the two governments must intervene if the talks fail. So people who would be closer to Sinn Féin would be able to decipher what that means. Is there a sort of split within Sinn Féin between those who are keener on the institutions and others who are keener on? There has even been talk of Sinn Féin maybe not wanting to go back into government before 2021, before the centenary of Northern Ireland, before Brexit's out of the way, let alone things like the RHI report. So I think a lot of it depends on Sinn Féin, but that's not to say that there aren't huge problems for the DUP. Clearly last year there was an agreement in outline which included an Irish Language Act. The old trick of that it would be called, you know, disguised under culture things and it would accompany an Ulster Scots Act, isn't going to work within unionism. There's no demand for an Ulster Scots Act. Nobody's going to be fooled that if you call it some hybrid bill, it's not an Irish Language Act. And even Mary Lou McDonald said, Ach na Gaeilge is, just straight after it, that will be part of any deal. And that's still the big stumbling block.
Alison?
Yeah, I think that the issue is we have an election on Thursday. So what the two parties are going to, the Sinn Féin and the DUP are going to be waiting to see is how their voters react at the polls. Now, if nothing changes and if they return even a greater number of councillors than they did before, well, then that's going to take the pressure off them. So we did have some pressure because of the tragedy in Derry, and we did have some pressure last week with Theresa May and everybody landing here. But that will only last for a certain amount of time. We've been here before. You know, we've seen atrocities on a grand scale before push people forward and say, oh, make some sort of change, and it hasn't in the long run. So what they will be more interested in is how their voters react. So if both of those parties return more councillors and make gains, well, then that will clearly take the pressure off for these talks. It's a very odd time to be talking. I don't know anyone that's ever convened talks process between two elections, so we'll have the European elections right after that. But I do think that while both want to be seen and both governments, I think at this point in time, realise that they can't let this situation just slide on forever. Nothing has changed in terms of the positions where the two parties are. Nothing has changed in terms, as Ben said, that unionism appears to be unable to compromise at all on an Irish Language Act. Narding Foster, while willing to agree, we believed that the last February wasn't able then to deliver it to her grassroots members. And Sinn Féin have made promises to their electorate regards to no return to the status quo and that they will not back without these issues. So I think reading between the lines of what Mary Lou McDonald said yesterday about the two governments intervening, I think what would possibly help is if some of those rights issues were dealt with via Westminster, if they were dealt with via another process and taken off the table so that they're not part of this negotiation, so that we have those issues implemented by Westminster rule, which could very easily happen, and then they could get back to talking about the sort of bread and butter stuff that's keeping them apart.
And what do you think Mary Lou means when she says, look, if there is no agreement, both governments need to intervene? in the rights issues? Like, intervene and do what?
Well, what I think what she means is that we know that after the talks process collapsed the last time, and that Sinn Féin had, it appeared, were willing to go back into government without a deal on same-sex marriage, they started speaking about private members' bills in Westminster. When she says that, and I think that we've seen the push with a lot of the mixed group of MPs in relation to abortion legislation as well, and we've also heard talk that possibly the language issues could be dealt with at Westminster. I think what they're talking about is just legislation being implemented by a direct rule process, and once that's done, then those issues are dealt with and they're gone and they're finished, they're off the table, and they can go back to negotiating how they're going to form a government again in any sustainable form.
And Ben Laurie, the DUP are saying get the government restored and have a parallel process. Is Sinn Féin going to wear that at all?
I don't think that they are. I mean, I think, you know, it is important when Alison says the DUP seems unable to compromise at all to get over the other side in this. And the other side in this is that, let us be clear, it simply would not be tolerated for a unionist party to bring down the institutions in this way. It wouldn't be tolerated. It wouldn't. There'd be uproar. In fact, already the blame has been spread equally. The DUP did not bring down the institutions after the 2015 paramilitary reports on the IRA. They didn't. There were numerous crises after 2007, and 2007 itself followed the crises in the run-up to suspension in 2002. So, you know, there is another view to this, but I don't think that they will accept the parallel process as suggested. I imagine that Sinn Féin wouldn't accept that. Why would they? In fact, Sinn Féin can see very clearly, and this is a huge problem for unionists, that even a conservative and unionist party, it prides itself on being such, propped up by the DUP, will do nothing, nothing at all to upset Sinn Féin. It won't even maintain MLAs in a scrutinising role so that there can be direct rule ministers who are scrutinised by MLAs so that they're earning their salary, because Sinn Féin will boycott it. It's not even prepared to say to Sinn Féin, well, if you boycott it, fine, all the other MLAs can do the scrutinising. So the DUP is simultaneously in a strong position it's propping up the government, and in a weak position in that the government that it's propping up is not prepared with the crisis on Brexit to take a unionist line.
And do you think the public are so angry, Alison, that there's any consequences for these parties if they don't get back into government?
No, you see, I think that is probably a myth that's arisen over the last couple of weeks. I think because our lives are so centred around social media now that people think because there's a social media or a hashtag trend and that's indicative of the feelings of the general public. And what you'll find is people are rightly outraged about what happened in Derry. But I don't think that when it comes down to it that they believe that the lack of Stormont was responsible for that. We had, you know, we had numerous murders during the 10-year period when Stormont was up and running. You know, the feelings in Derry are political, but they were political throughout those 10 years of government. They were political as in that Stormont failed to deliver for the North West at all. And we could blame that. We could go back and analyse that and blame the government on that. So I don't think they're necessarily going to be punished. And in fact, most people have predicted that they're going to make gains on Thursday in these local council elections. And if they do, what is the pressure on them then to go in and have to make drastic compromises that go against everything that both parties have promised, their voters have promised, their members, and make those compromises when the public then isn't outraged and isn't punished? Well, but we don't know, you see, so we'll have to wait and see how that election goes.
Let's see, exactly. Alison, thanks very much. Ben, always nice to talk to you. Thank you, sir. Deputy Editor of the newsletter, Ben Laurie. Alison Morris from the Irish News.